morning. The scripture lesson this morning is in the book of Matthew, chapters 18, verses 1 through 7. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them, and he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come." This is the word of the Lord.
All right, kids, invited to Children's Church. Well, we talk about you. I'm just kidding. Not you specifically, just in general, kids. Kids decided they wanted to stay after I said that. All right, let's pray together. Gracious God, we are so thankful that you see fit to gather with your people. We pray that you have been delighted by our offering of praise and prayer. For we are thankful. And we're thankful for your word, your living word, which we turn to together. And so may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of every one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. Well, Faithful Presence is the series that we're kind of in the middle of, although we had a two-week break, so I'm going to have to jog your memories. I had to jog my own memory, so don't feel bad if you forgot what we'd been talking about. but we have three circles, three versions of a circle on the screen, and we've been tracing several disciplines, how they affect our lives in the close circle of Christian community, mainly the church, how they affect the dotted circle of life outside church, in our homes and in our neighborhoods, and then how they also affect life out in the half-circle of the world where we are not hosts, other people are hosts, and we are trying to represent Christ and practice life according to the kingdom out in the world. So we believe that all these practices have relevance for all of those places. The five that we've talked about, we began with proclaiming the gospel, that was the first practice, this faithful presence practice. Proclaiming the gospel with our lives, with our words, being in the world and sharing the faith, sharing the good news of Jesus that we believe is the best news that we've heard. Amen? Is this pretty good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ? If we can't get excited about that, then we're not going to do very good at proclaiming it. But proclaiming the gospel is a discipline. The discipline of reconciliation. Yeah, they don't get easier as we go, necessarily. Reconciliation, practicing reconciliation with relationships that have been broken. Anybody ever experienced any of that? Reconciliation is hard. It is a discipline, but Jesus shows up when we pursue it. The Lord's table is a discipline that we practice, and it has relevance, of course, in the church, but we also take it, as we sing, to the world. Being with the least of these is the last practice that we talked about a few weeks ago. And that's least of these is taken from Matthew 25. We're talking about the poor, the hungry, the naked, the immigrant, those who are vulnerable in our society. This is a discipline. And then today, speaking of the vulnerable of our society, we're talking about being with children. Jesus talks about the least of these and children in much the same way. He actually uses the exact same words in a few places when he's talking about the least of these and children, promising to be present, promising to be there, identifying himself with those populations and wanting us to not miss that when we are in the presence of the least of these and when we are with children, we are, in fact, with Jesus. These are disciplines that we call disciplines of faithful presence because Christ promises his presence in all of these when we practice them. When we proclaim the gospel of Jesus, his gospel is what we proclaim. He is in the proclaiming of the gospel. When reconciliation occurs between people and when brokenness is addressed and talked about and when healing takes place, Christ promises to be there. At the Lord's table, the real presence of Christ is among us. And Jesus says, whatever you do or do not do for the least of these of my brothers and sisters, you do or do not do unto me. He is very present in the least of these. And the same with children. Whoever welcomes one of these little ones welcomes me. Jesus says when we are with children, when we welcome children, we are welcoming Jesus. All right. So let's dig in to the practice of being with children. According to Jesus in Matthew 18, kids are the greatest. I mean, you ask any kid if they're the greatest, they'll probably agree with you, right? Are you the greatest? The best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be? Okay, maybe not that. some kids might latch onto that idea. But in Matthew 18, the disciples come to Jesus and say, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And of course, when you ask a question like that, you're hoping the answer is it me? It's us, right? Right? Or if not, I mean, maybe it's not him, but it's definitely me, right? Like, yeah, for sure. I mean, like James and John, I know, like, they're all right, but like, I'm Peter and, you know, it doesn't say who asked the question, but surely somebody was hoping that they would be the answer to that question. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called, in verse 2, a little child whom he placed among them. And I'm sure the disciples are like, oh, here we go. An object lesson from Jesus. It's going to make us question ourselves and make us confused. And, well, actually, he's probably going to point something out that should be as plain as the nose on my face, but I'm so wrapped up in myself that I can't see it or hear it. That's usually what Jesus really does, but you ever get caught up in yourself? I'm not the only one, am I? Okay. So this little child who he places among them is the exemplar of the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And he says that welcoming them, and this is verse 5, and also Matthew or Mark 9, if you wanted a double emphasis on this, that whoever welcomes children, whoever welcomes one of these children, welcomes me. To welcome a child is to welcome Christ. To show hospitality to a child is to welcome Christ. To sit in the presence of a child and listen to what they had to say is to welcome Christ. To spend time, maybe rocking a baby, maybe listening to the nonsense of a three-year-old, maybe playing catch with a little bit of an older kid. These are all moments of encounter with Christ. And me, as a dad of five, say to Jesus, yeah, I mean, being with kids is like being with Jesus, except when it's not. Except when it doesn't feel like being with Jesus at all, right? It's not always happy. Kids aren't always innocent and humble, right? That's, I mean, yours weren't, were they? I mean, I'm not alone in this, am I? So the question, what kids, what age and how many are you talking about here, Jesus, when you say that they are the greatest in the kingdom and that we need to become like kids, like children, to be inheritors of the kingdom? So what I've found, now I'm coming off, you know, as you know, 2 weeks of vacation. You may know, you may not know. I'm coming off 2 weeks of vacation. And in those 2 weeks, we stayed around Lansing. We went as far as Detroit and as far as Muskegon in both directions, but that's as far as we traveled. But spent a lot of time with those children of mine, right? It was wonderful, except when it wasn't. But one of the great things that children provide is that they are a mirror for us. Not in that they behave exactly like us, right? Like a kid isn't, it doesn't exactly look like me. My kids look more like me than probably other kids. But they're a mirror in the sense that they show me things about myself that I couldn't see on my own. Anybody relate to this? When you're a parent, you really get this head-on collision all the time. And after 2 weeks of vacation and lots and lots and lots of hours with them, it's real. It's very real. But this happens when you encounter children anywhere, right? When you guys encounter the kids that are here at church, when you encounter your grandkids, when you encounter kids out in public, when you encounter these sort of things happen, they hold up a mirror to us. Just a few things that I saw in the mirror over the past couple weeks. Ingratitude. When my kids are not being grateful, it is one of the most infuriating and frustrating things in the world, right? When you give a child something and they complain about it, or they immediately ask for something else that's more expensive and better, or if you do something and you're like, oh, can we do this other thing that costs, you know, twice as much or three times as much, right? I found myself, like, internally just wanting to blow a gasket. Like, come on, I'm trying to do my best here. I'm trying not to, you know, cash in every penny that we have in order to have a great 2 weeks here. And I realized, oh boy, where do they get this ingratitude from? Maybe they learn it from Dad. Oh Lord. Because here I am with this blessing of amazing children, and I'm not enjoying them at all, at least not in the moment, right? I do in general. I'm not trying to say I'm a terrible person here, but there are moments when I am being completely ungrateful for the gift of my children. Completely ungrateful. Throwing things. I hate it when my kids throw things in the house or in the van. We have things that are broken. We have windows that are broken because of kids throwing things. And yesterday, I was so frustrated. It's one of our kids. I'm not going to say who. We don't need to name names. And there's enough of them that, you know, you won't even be able to tell who I'm talking about. But I was so frustrated that I took an empty baby bottle and just threw it as hard as I could on the passenger seat floor of the van while we were driving. I was like, ah! I was like, oh. Well, so maybe when my kids slam their doors and throw shoes or whatever it is that they do, maybe they've seen that before. They've held up a mirror to me. Not that they necessarily learn it from me, but just that, oh, I'm like that too. Impatience, I mean, do I even need to talk about that? When my kids are being impatient, it drives me nuts, but am I very patient with them? Not all the time, right? But, you know, they're like, are we there yet? Can we go? Can we? And then it's time to go. And like, where are you? And where are your shoes? And where's your shirt? And where, anything? Do you have anything ready at this point? And we have to be out the door in 5 minutes? And complaining, I mean, that goes with ingratitude as well. Kids are mirrors. So spending time with kids is important, maybe just for that very fact, because they remind us that the things that annoy us about kids, they don't go away when those kids become adults, right? They become stratified into the full-blown adults that we all are. And we may have been a little more annoying about it when we were kids, but guess what? Those things still live inside of us, right? Kids are mirrors. Whew. So. But can I just say, we had a blast on vacation. We did. I just wanted to let you know that just because you have a blast doesn't mean that life is all hunky-dory and perfect, in case you thought that might be true. So in this latter section of verses 2 through 4, he called a little child who he placed among them. Then Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes a humble place, becoming like this child, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Whoever takes the humble place like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So, we can learn things from kids, humility being the first among them, as Jesus points out. Taking this humble place, we can learn humility, although we know kids aren't always and exclusively humble. We can also learn innocence from kids. We can learn trust. Kids can be way more trusting than we can often. We learn directness. Last Sunday after church, so we visited a couple different churches while we were on vacation. Apologies if you wanted me to show up here, but we decided to check out a couple other churches. But after church, we were going to go have some lunch. We walked into a restaurant, and the kids started complaining about the menu and complaining about it. So we walked out, we got back in the van, and we were headed home. And one of our children, well, they were all upset and crying and, you know, whatever. But one of them in particular was saying, "This is the worst day of my life, and it's all God's fault." We're like, it's all God's fault. Interesting. Why is it all God's fault? And he said, "This has been the worst day. Nothing's gone my way. And God is in charge of everything, and so it's his fault." I thought, wow. So now, my kids are also pointing out my faulty theology. That God is in charge means that everything is God's fault, right? But how many adults believe that too, right? We blame God for so many things, right? But there's a directness to a child's logic that we can't achieve once we sort of like overcomplicate things in our minds. Joy. There is an unfettered joy. Man, I have a three-year-old who, he can be cranky, but he can experience a level of joy that I am jealous of. It is just amazing to see the joy on his face sometimes. Freedom, living freely. Again, we get encumbered with so many concerns and the weights of the world. Being a carefree kid, I mean, how many long for just the feeling of being carefree like you were when you were a kid, riding your bike around the neighborhood or whatever, how like, oh, that would be nice again, right? And persistence. Persistence can be a really annoying feature in a kid, but we can... Oh, dear. Lord, help us. But we can learn great things from kids. I would say that it's easy to get too caught up in what we might learn or get out of the discipline. Because Jesus says that kids are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes them welcomes me. You got to learn humility from them, etc. And so I'm like, okay, well, if I'm going to put this into practice, like, what am I going to get out of it? Right? I'm spending all this time with these kids. You know, I'm trying to invest in their lives. But, like, where's the fruit of that? Like, when does, like, the frustration and the agony and the throwing bottles in the floor, when does that all end? And when do I get to just, like, enjoy it and be like, oh, yes, I got five little Jesuses in the back of this car, this minivan, and I've never been more happy and excited to enjoy it all. Right? And then people say, enjoy every moment. And I say, well, maybe not every moment. Because they grow up fast, and I understand they do, and they will. But it's impossible to enjoy every moment. I want you to understand that. We try to be present, but it is impossible to enjoy every moment. But we can get too caught up in what we might learn or get out of it. I can make this discipline of being with children about me. Like, oh, I've been spending all this time with kids, and I don't feel closer to Jesus. Well, you won't necessarily feel closer to Jesus. Just like you won't necessarily feel closer to Jesus when you spend more time with the poor or the immigrant. You may not. Hopefully, at some point, you get there. And there will be moments. There will be moments where you're like, oh, yeah. Jesus is here. Christ's presence is among us. You'll know it. But it won't be every moment. And we shouldn't expect every moment to feel close. Just like when you come to communion, Jesus promises to be there, but every Sunday when you come forward for communion, do you experience Christ in the same way every single communion Sunday? Probably not. Sometimes you feel distant. You feel, these are not magic tricks. These are the gifts of God. And the greatest gift is Christ's presence. Verse 5. Learning humility is this amazing gift that we receive from children, but the greatest gift is that when we welcome one such child in Christ's name, we are welcoming him. We are actually offering welcome and hospitality to Jesus when we welcome a child into our presence. What a gift. What a gift. We're offering the opportunity to offer hospitality to Jesus, right? So then we don't get to say at the end, like Matthew 25, when were you, and I didn't see it. No. Jesus was walking around all the time. Every time there was a little kid nearby, every single time there was a poor person nearby or an immigrant nearby, right? I had opportunities to be with Jesus all the time, to welcome, to show hospitality, to invite him. These opportunities are there, and they are the greatest gift that we have. So be humble and be welcoming to children. Jesus offers his presence in hard places. All the five disciplines we've talked about so far, and there's going to be a few more, have things about them that are difficult. They're great gifts, but they're not always easy. So there's some difficult places of life. Relationship building can be hard, right? Reconciling can be hard. Dinner time can be hard. Care for the vulnerable can be hard. Raising children can be hard. And that's as a parent, that's as a grandparent, that's as whoever, how whatever capacity you're raising children. It's hard. These are difficult places of life. They're great gifts, right? I mean, when you build a great relationship, it's one of the greatest gifts of life. When you reconcile a broken relationship, it is one of the most joyous things you can imagine. A great dinner, I mean, it's starting to show a little bit, but a great dinner is a great joy, right? A meal, being with the vulnerable, meaningfully caring for people and seeing their lives transformed as a result of just a simple thing you can do. There's no greater gift in life. And raising children and seeing them succeed, seeing them follow Christ, seeing them, their lives transformed. These are some of the greatest gifts in life. But they are difficult places. And Jesus specifically promises his presence in these places. Because he knows that within the greatest gifts of life are difficulties. And we can be assured that when we're doing the difficult things, the great things of life, that Jesus is there with us. Right? Some of these things, some days raising children can feel like it's downright heroic, right? Just trying to, like, you feel like you have to be Superman or Superwoman or Wonder Woman to do it well, right? Some days getting dinner on the table can feel like an act of heroism. Some days just continuing to stay in a relationship that's getting difficult can feel like an act of heroism. Jesus knows that these things are hard, and he promises that he's already there in every case. He's already there. He's already present. He's already at work. Jesus is there. So who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He places a little child among them. It says, become like this child, and you too, like them, will be one of the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. So opportunity abounds to spend some time with Jesus. Because there are kids. Wherever there are kids, there is opportunity to spend time with Jesus. Again, we talked about all the other categories as well, but today we're focusing on children. Opportunity abounds to spend some time with children, and therefore spend some time with Jesus. Downstairs after church, there's a table full of kids, which they often congregate together, right? We cluster into different things. Sit down with the kids, get to know them, get to know what they're doing, ask them if they need some help, ask them if they have a funny story, ask them if you can play with their fidget spinner, whatever. Spend some time with Jesus and know that you will be rewarded. Welcoming them welcomes Christ. There are opportunities all over the place. The last two Sundays, Marcy and I sat in church with Eloise. We put most of the other kids in whatever children's programs were at those churches. But Eloise was always with us. And both times, I ended up in the back of the sanctuary doing this, trying to keep her calm, keeping her quiet. And she did great. She did great. But, you know, it hit me. You know, I'm sitting in church, so, you know, that's where you're supposed to be encountering Jesus. But here I am holding this six-month-old child, welcoming her into my arms and welcoming Jesus right there. I'm like, which one is greater? The fact that I'm here worshiping, singing a song, or that I'm here welcoming a child? So, it's a great question, and I think God is there in both cases. opportunity abounds. We have four faithful nursery volunteers and four faithful children's leaders right now, four of each. Seven total people, three of whom already spend a kajillion hours with kids, and four who don't. Right, who get their kid time here at the church. So in case you're wondering, in case you're wondering if there's a need for help, if you want to spend some time with Jesus during church, and I assure you that Jesus is in there just as much as he is in here, if you want to, once every couple months. Whether it's nursery, rocking Eloise. You can even bring her in here maybe if she's behaving, cooperating. And I'm not talking about my kids, right? We understand that there's more kids than just mine, but the better staffed and the more volunteers we have in children's ministry, the more welcoming we will be to more families with kids in the future as well. And hopefully that will grow and grow. But these are opportunities that we have. I don't want this to feel like a sales pitch, but like if you want like a real, like an hour to spend with Jesus, the opportunity is there. And I promise you that our children's church teachers will train you how to do it. Right, Ken? If somebody wants to do it but is really scared and doesn't know how and is, you know, like, well, what do you do? Would you even go with them and walk them through it for a time or two? They can shadow you? Yeah, see? Anytime, see? So, they will train you, and the more volunteers you have. And if you have three people in the nursery, it's an easy job. One person, a little harder, right? Anyway, just throwing that out there. Opportunity abounds. But opportunity abounds, again, just downstairs, wherever. And I want to assure you that the kids will show you the kingdom of heaven. may not be like you pictured it. You may picture angels with wings and halos in the kingdom of heaven. A little six-month-old baby sometimes can look a little bit like that. You have that cherub look to them, right? But for the most part, we see that the kingdom of heaven is a little more messy than we realized. It's full of humble little children. We can learn from them. We can learn to become like them. We can see ourselves in the mirror of their lives. There is opportunity. This is an opportunity to grow in relationship to Jesus, to experience the faithful presence of Christ. And again, all it takes is a little thing. It can be very simple. It can just be saying hi to kids, figuring out the awkward interactions with a 6-year-old who just ignores you and is like, hi, what are you talking to me? That's okay. You can learn persistence from them too. Lots of things. But the kids will show you the kingdom of heaven. That I am assured of. And as you've heard from my stories today, that doesn't mean it's always easy or without frustration. Right? But Jesus is there. And when Jesus is there, that's where I want to be. Even if it is frustrating, even if it is hard, when Jesus is present, when I know that I am welcoming Christ in my midst, when you know that you're welcoming Christ into your midst, that's a beautiful place to be. That's a wonderful place to be. That is a godly place to be. Let's pray. Gracious God, giver of life, giver of new life, we thank you for everything that children represent in the kingdom of heaven. We thank you that you have called us to become like them. But we thank you for the reminder that they already are, of humility and of your presence. And gracious God, we ask that you will give each of us the opportunity to experience this goodness, to know what it is to welcome you into our midst, whether it be the poor, whether it be the hungry, whether it be the child. When the vulnerable call, may we be present. May we come to them with open hands and open arms. We thank you for this good news, that your presence is available to us. We thank you that your kingdom is evident in so many different corners of this world and of this church. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a life to experience all that you have for us. In Jesus' strong name we pray. Amen.
Well, as we respond to the good news of Christ's presence, let us stand together and ask for God to breathe his Holy Spirit on us right here and now.
Spirit of God, here with us.
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace.